Also, so glad that you have stayed with us this morning and here for the last day of the conference. And I think this is obviously just a fundamental topic of how we best fund and finance public health services. Obviously, particularly so in the current environment as we're heading into economic downturn and a lot of uncertainty around what will happen with regard to funding and financing for financing streams for public health services. I'm Glenn Mays. I'm a professor and chairman of the Department of Health Policy and Management at the University of Arkansas College of Public Health in Little Rock. I'm going to be sharing with you some work that we've been doing looking specifically at patterns of spending for local public health services around the country and what we know about variations in this spending. Drivers of that variation and consequences of that variation, and what it might tell us, point us toward in terms of implications for policy and practice. Again, particularly thinking forward, looking into the future and what challenges and even opportunities might be before us in the current environment. I do want to first say I have no relationships to disclose. But I do want to acknowledge that this work that I'll be talking to you today about is funded by the Robert Johnson Foundation through their Changes in Healthcare Financing and Organization Special Solicitation on Public Health Systems Research, which is a grant initiative run by Academy Health. We're certainly grateful for that. Also want to point out that much of the data that I'll be sharing with you today, or one of the primary data sources, comes from the National Association of County and City Health Officials, their profile of local health departments that has been done periodically over time, really, you know, has turned out to be the best national source of data on local public health spending that we have. You know, as those of us who do work in this area often say, thank God for NACHO, because without their efforts to collect these data, imperfect though they are, inevitably, we would have even less information to examine some of these issues. So some of the questions that I'll cover this morning, first of all, what do we know about public health spending across communities and how that varies across communities? Secondly, what types of communities are most vulnerable to reductions in spending and shortfalls in spending? Again, this question is particularly important, I think, in the current environment with our economic situation. What can we learn about historically communities that have most frequently been challenged by shortfalls and reductions, and how might we anticipate and respond to those issues? Thirdly, what are some of the drivers of spending changes and variation in public health spending across communities? So again, that we can use that information to anticipate, opportunities and challenges that need to be addressed regarding assuring sufficient financial capacity for public health services. And then finally, a fourth question is, what are the health consequences associated with variations in local public health spending? This is perhaps one of the key questions of interest from a policy perspective, and what does it mean in terms of health, ultimately health outcomes, based on the levels of spending that we see across communities. So I'm going to try to touch on each of these questions and share with you some data and implications around these major questions. Just to kind of frame the issue, one of the reasons why this is important, we can think about from an international perspective. We know, I'm sure you've seen slides like this that compare the U.S. to other industrialized countries based on our average per capita health spending in the U.S., and we know that with that purple line there, the U.S. is far and away the outlier when it comes to per capita spending on health. We spend more than twice as much as any other industrialized country. But when we array ourselves with regard to measures of population health, in this case, a measure of average life expectancy, we rank very low on that continuum. And so naturally this raises the question, why is this mismatch? Why do we have this mismatch in the U.S. between what we spend on health and the outcomes that we achieve in terms of population health outcomes? This is another angle on that same issue. This is very recent work released by the Commonwealth Fund that compares industrialized countries on a measure of preventable mortality, mortality due to preventable conditions. And we know, again, you see the United States way out there on the right-hand side, you know, in this study, ranking last among these 19 industrialized countries with respect to preventable mortality after adjusting for age. And this shows 2 points in time. Not only are we an outlier with respect to our overall mortality, but we're, other countries are reducing their mortality at a much faster rate. That gap between the white lines and the red lines, other countries are reducing their mortality at a much faster rate than we are in the U.S. And so why do we see this lagging in the performance of our health system with respect to other countries? One, there are likely to be myriad causes for those or explanations for that mismatch between resources and outcomes in the U.S. But one explanation perhaps is how we actually spend our resources in the U.S. And in particular, particular interest to me, and I think many of us here in the public health world, is the share of our resources that are dedicated to public health services and activities as opposed to elements of the medical care delivery and financing system. And we know our best estimates over the last 20 years have consistently suggested that we spend less than or up to perhaps even less than 3% of the now $2.1 trillion that we spend annually on health issues. Less than 3% are allocated to public health, delivery of public health services. And so again, this perhaps is part of the explanation for why we don't see greater value and greater population health impact from our spending in the U.S. Another angle on this is in looking at geographic variation in spending. I'm going to be sharing with you some information about geographic variation in public health spending. But part of our analyses are built on a larger body of research that has looked at variation in medical care spending across communities in the U.S. And we know that our medical care spending in the U.S. varies widely across local areas. Per capita medical care spending varies by a factor of more than two across local areas, according to the most recent analyses that were conducted by the group at Dartmouth that do the Dartmouth Atlas of Healthcare. And interestingly, they find that and most of their estimates are using Medicare data because that's one of the only national data sources that allow us to look at spending across nationally across local areas. So this research really does focus tightly on Medicare beneficiaries, but they find that when they compare the very high spending communities to the very low spending communities, they really don't see differences in mortality or other health outcomes. So there appears to be no advantage of living in a high spending area, a community that spends a lot on medical care. The residents in those communities don't appear to benefit, don't appear to experience any better health outcomes compared to residents in the lower spending communities. And in fact, they in this slide here, you actually see some trends to the contrary, where you actually see higher mortality rates in some of the higher spending regions for some of these conditions like cancer treatment, MI treatment, and other areas. So again, further raises the question of what's the value of our spending and what can we learn about this variation in medical care and variation in spending across communities. This is again analysis looking at medical care, geographic variation in medical care spending, and that partly motivated our interest in looking at the complement of that, which is looking at local geographic variation in public health spending and what that might tell us about our health system. The data that we use for our analyses in public health spending are, as I mentioned, primarily our primary data source is the data collected periodically by NACHO through its national profile of local health departments. NACHO has periodically conducted census surveys of the nation's local public health agencies. And we put together three recent waves of that survey, the earliest wave back in 93, another wave in 97, and the most recent survey conducted in 2005. So that gives us data for the national population of local health departments, actually what they're spending, budgets and what they're spending on delivery of public health services. It also gives us a variety of other characteristics, institutional characteristics and service delivery characteristics of the nation's local health departments. We put that together with a number of other data sources that allow us to look more comprehensively at drivers and consequences of spending variation, including data from the U.S. Census of Governments, which is a survey conducted periodically by the Census Bureau that gives us some fairly good estimates of state-level spending on health and public health services. We also similarly construct some estimates of federal public health spending from the Consolidated Federal Funds Report, another data source maintained by the Census Bureau. And then we also link in data on community characteristics, population demographic characteristics, and health resources in each of these communities across the country that come from the Area Resource File, which is a database maintained by the U.S. Health Resources and Services Administration. So let me share with you some of the findings from our analysis of geographic variation in public health spending. This slide first shows you just the extent of variation across communities, and this is using the most recent wave of that NATO data, 2005 NATO data, and we're looking here at per capita public health spending. And you can see from this slide, this is just a frequency distribution, and you can see wide variation here. We have some communities spending less than a dollar per person on public health activities in their jurisdictions, to other communities spending more than $200 per person on public health activities. That variation makes that twofold variation in medical care spending that we just talked about seem actually quite small by comparison when you have perhaps a 200-fold variation in public health spending across communities. Now, there's actually, as we know, a lot that goes into that, explaining that variation, and certainly a lot of differences in the types of services that public health agencies deliver, the types of responsibilities, statutory authority they have, and that authority and scope of services obviously has major consequences for budget and likely drives the spending variation to some extent. But still, at a national level, this is a very wide degree of variation. The Gini coefficient there is one of our common measures for estimating inequality in measures of spending across communities, and that's a number that's actually quite high, suggesting that there is a relatively high degree of inequality across communities in the level of per capita public health spending. As a reference point, the Gini coefficient for overall household income in the U.S. is about 0.45. So this at which we know income equality is a major issue and pretty extreme in the U.S. So this suggests our public health spending, the inequality in public health spending, is actually even higher than that of our overall inequality in household income in the U.S. Another way of looking at that variation is when we sorted communities into quintiles based on their level of per capita public health spending. That top 20% of communities with the highest level of public health spending, they were spending more than 13 times the levels that we saw of communities in the lowest quartile of communities. And when we applied some pretty robust multivariate models to try to account for some of the major sources of variation in that spending, so adjusting for things like demographics and the service mix of the local health agency, still most of that variation, that 13-fold variation in spending between the highest 20% and the lowest 20% of communities, still persisted, again suggesting that we do have wide variation in spending that's not fully accounted for by things like demographics or service mix. We also took advantage of the longitudinal nature of this data to look at time trends in spending and how local public health spending is changing over time. And you can see, and these numbers in this slide are actually adjusting the spending levels for inflation. So we've put these spending estimates in constant dollars to factor out the role of inflation here. And you can see once we do that aqua line there shows local public health agency spending per capita is almost flat across this 15-year period. So after we account for inflation, per capita spending at a national level is almost flat, just barely keeping up with inflation. Contrast that with the other two lines there, which is all of the health spending per capita in the U.S. and personal health spending or medical care spending in the U.S. there in the red lines. Those rates of increase have been, those other measures of spending have been going up very rapidly, as we know, over the last 15 years, for many years, seeing double-digit rates of increase in medical care spending. So again, another, I think, important contrast. This is another way of looking at this issue of how public health spending changes over time, and here we this is another frequency distribution that's showing that, and this shows the average increase in per capita public health spending in communities over our entire nearly 15-year time period from 93 to 2005. And you can see from this slide that about 65% of communities in the U.S. did experience an increase in per capita public health spending over this time period. But that the most frequent increase, as you can see there, that where the highest bar occurs there, is an increase of less than $2 per capita. But I think even more importantly are the frequency bars there that we've highlighted in orange, and that's indicating that 35% of communities actually experienced a reduction in per capita public health spending over this period of time. So that's a population of communities that we're particularly concerned about. And again, that's a population that may have particular relevance for us now going into an economic downturn, where I think we're at risk for even more communities and agencies seeing reductions in shortfalls in spending. We also thought it would be interesting to look at, to compare communities based on their public health per capita spending and contrast that with the per capita medical care spending in communities. And this is a slide that kind of depicts that analysis. What's the relationship between public health spending and medical care spending in a given community? And for this analysis, we again sorted communities in the U.S. into five groups, five quintiles, based on their level of per capita public health spending. And you can see we've got a set of bars for each of those five groups. You can see the blue bars show the public health spending per capita. So quintile one is the lowest 20% of communities, spending less than $10 per capita. And up to quintile five is the highest 20% of communities on public health spending more than $100 per capita. Now compare that with the level of medical care spending per capita in those same communities that we see there in the orange lines. You see a pretty clear inverse relationship here. That we were surprised and intrigued to find. So that the communities that are spending the lowest levels of the lowest amounts on public health per capita spending are actually spending the highest amounts on medical care per capita spending that we see in quintile one. And conversely, the communities that are spending the most on a per capita basis on public health services are actually spending much less on show the lowest levels of medical care spending per capita. Question in the back?
You mentioned the source of the medical
spending. Yeah, and again, the only source of national source of medical care spending data on a national level at a community basis is Medicare claims data. So these are Medicare spending estimates, which is a bit of a apples to orange comparison. But nonetheless, Medicare spending rates have been shown to track pretty closely with overall medical care spending rates. So,
can you put some names of communities?
I don't have specific names of communities that are in these quintiles. For you, I can understand that might be useful to think about. You know, what does a community in the low spending group look like versus the high spending group? I can tell you the low spending group. I know that I'm from Arkansas. A number of our local public health jurisdictions in Arkansas fall into that lowest spending quintile. We actually, as a state, rank 49th or 50th in per capita public health spending among the U.S. states, and so I know a number of our counties are in that quintile one, and we also do see relatively higher rates of medical care spending in Arkansas compared to our peers. So again, I don't think we can make a causal inference here about that low levels of spending are causing us to spend more on medical care. This whole issue of trading off, spending on prevention versus on upstream issues versus downstream medical care needs. But certainly that's part of, at least the hypothesis that we may conclude here.
Could we, again, we ask at the beginning to vote to question until the end so that people could have an equal chance in giving their presentation, and then after that begin.
Sorry. I couldn't help but indulge the question. But I give you this to pique your interest, and we can talk more about what some of the issues might be behind there. We also did some analyses to look at what factors are associated or might explain geographic variation in public health spending across communities. One of the more consistent factors that we found to significantly that predict higher levels of spending is actually the presence of a local board of health in the community that has policymaking authority. A pretty striking finding there. Communities with local governing boards of health tend to spend about 14% more on public health services than do their counterparts without these governing boards. Spending also tracked pretty closely with population size. Not surprisingly, spending tracked pretty closely with average income per capita. Higher income communities tend to spend more on public health activities. And then these last couple of estimates show you that spending varies, as you would expect, with the scope of services offered by the local health department. So departments offering a broader scope of clinical preventive services or population-based services or regulatory and licensing services tend to spend more on a per capita basis on public health activities. I mentioned we were interested in looking at the communities that appeared to be most at risk for spending reductions, those 35% of communities that we saw experience real reductions in spending over this time period. And these were some of the characteristics that popped out from our multivariate analysis, again, looking at factors that are associated with spending reductions over time. Again, communities that are served by a governing board appear to be much less likely to experience reductions in public health spending over time compared to communities that lack that governance structure. We also found, not surprisingly, that the risk of a spending reduction over time increases as the portion of the population that is minority that increases as well. So our minority communities being significantly more likely to experience spending reductions compared to their counterparts. Also found, perhaps not surprising, that rural communities were more likely than urban communities to experience these spending reductions. And then also a very clear association with household income and overall socioeconomic status in the community. So higher income communities being much less likely to experience spending reductions than lower income communities, again, not surprisingly. I think in the interest of time, what I'm going to do is skip that slide and really go to the bottom line here. We also conducted a series of analyses to look at the association between per capita public health spending and measures of population health. Again, looking over this 13-15-year time horizon and studying the changes in spending that we see over that time period, did we see an association between spending levels and, in our case, mortality from preventable conditions? This was the measures of population health that we look at. And these are estimates from multivariate models that control for a wide variety of other factors that we know also drive mortality patterns across communities. But what the slide shows you is that for several of the most for several of these preventable sources of mortality, there was a strong inverse relationship between mortality levels and public health spending. So in the direction you would expect, communities that experienced larger increases in public health spending over this time period experienced larger reductions in mortality from several of these preventable causes of death, with the strongest relationship we found with infant mortality, suggesting that a 10% increase in spending over this time period was associated with nearly a 7% reduction in infant mortality in the communities, again, after controlling for other factors that are associated with infant mortality. We also saw a significant relationship between spending and heart disease mortality, with, again, a 10% increase in public health spending associated with about a 3% reduction in heart disease mortality, about a 1.5% reduction in diabetes mortality and about a 1% reduction in cancer mortality. These other conditions that we looked at, you can see the confidence intervals there cross that zero line. So these, for those other causes, those we did not find a statistically significant effect or relationship between spending and mortality for influenza or for the all-cause mortality measure. And we also looked at a couple of other measures, Alzheimer's, that we didn't expect to have a strong association with public health spending, and in fact we didn't find that relationship. But certainly we were we thought these estimates for some of these large preventable sources of mortality and the relationship to spending that we found there plausible, and I think encouraging, to providing some evidence that yes, spending on local public health services actually does make a difference, particularly in these mortality measures that we know a large majority of local health departments are delivering services that are targeted at those issues: maternal and child health services, heart disease, and risk factors for heart disease, smoking, nutrition, physical activity, and cancer-related issues as well, smoking and cancer screening. As a final step, we took those estimates of spending effects on mortality and used them to construct a cost effectiveness estimate for the overall spending on local public health services, and we mirrored a methodology that was used by David Cutler and colleagues at Harvard and published in New England Journal just a couple of years ago. Well, in their study, they were looking at the cost effectiveness of medical care spending, and they used the same methodology to estimate that. Over the time period from 1960 to 2000, obviously we saw dramatic increases in medical care spending, and they estimated the cost effectiveness of that spending to be about $36,000 per life year gained due to medical care spending over this time period, which is a number, if you're if you're in tune to the health economics literature, that's a relatively cost-effective number there. Generally, cost-effectiveness estimates of less than $50,000 per life year saved are generally thought up to be worthwhile, cost-effective interventions and programs. And so in that New England Journal article from 2006, they used those estimates to argue that despite the fact that we're spending a lot on medical care in the U.S., it does appear to be worthwhile and appears to be cost-effective. We employed the same methodology to our mortality estimates that I just showed you on the previous slide to construct a cost per life year gained due to local public health spending, and the estimates there you see are range between $12,000 per life year gained up to about $26,000 per life year gained, suggesting that that perhaps our spending on local public health services are even more cost effective than the spending that we're currently devoting to medical care. So just to wrap up, some of the implications from our work in this area of geographic variation in public health spending. Obviously, we've learned that local public health spending varies widely across communities, and we have substantial inequalities in public health spending across communities. Rural communities and minority communities appear to be disproportionately affected by spending shortfalls and spending reductions in particular. That's perhaps not surprising to you that these are also communities that tend to be underserved and under-resourced for medical care as well. But we think it's particularly important to identify these as being communities that are at risk for public health spending shortfalls as well. And then finally, we found pretty strong evidence suggesting that communities that with higher spending experience lower mortality from some of the leading preventable causes of death, like infant mortality, heart disease, diabetes, and cancer, suggesting that our spending on public health services are worthwhile. Also suggests that when we look at ways of addressing health disparities, public health spending and local public health spending may be an important part of the solution here. Differences in our public health investments across communities, based on our estimates, are likely to be contributing to the geographic disparities that we see in population health outcomes. And finally, if you believe our cost effectiveness estimates that I just showed you. It suggests that the mortality reductions that may be achievable through public health interventions and public health spending may in some cases equal or exceed the reductions that we might expect through similar increases in medical care spending. So I will leave it at that, and we look forward to questions and answers, and also look forward to my colleague Peggy Honore's comments around these issues of financing and quality.
Okay, thank you, Dr. May.